Okay, we're in Zechariah 5. And while you're turning there, let's try Hebrews chapter 13 also. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Sam Gipp preaches a sermon entitled Beyond Meat, and he uses Hebrews 13:9 as the text on this one. And it's a very, very helpful sermon message. So, if you can find him on the internet, I know he's on there somewhere. Beyond Meat, it's very helpful. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. Help us to realize that you are a spirit, and that you are far, far more advanced and above us. And there are some things that happens in life and in this universe that are beyond our imagination. And help us to realize that when the Bible does touch on those areas, that we may not know the answer, but we may know what it's not. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 9, it says, "Be not carried about by diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Okay, the context of Hebrews, remember, is the tribulation context, and during the tribulation time period, apparitions and visions and flying angels and devils and tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes are going to be commonplace. Okay, and so they're going to have angels showing up everywhere, devils showing up everywhere. You have Revelation 9 where the earth is opened up and beings come out of the heart of the earth that got the face of a man, the hair of the women, the sting of a scorpion, the teeth like, I mean, weird stuff. You think science fiction is bad, wait till you see this stuff. And so there are some strange things in the Bible, very strange things, very odd things. And he's telling us in Hebrews, don't get occupied by those things. In other words, don't make that your primary ministry. That shouldn't be your main focus. Okay, now, many of us know Bill Sneblin's testimony. Now, that guy got into some weird stuff. And he takes a trip out to Roswell, New Mexico, about every year and does a little seminar out there, you know, because that's where all the UFO stuff took place. But he only does it once a year, and he knows a little bit about that. But yet, the vast majority of his time is trying to help people get close to the Lord. And so, if we know these things, fine. If we don't know them, fine. If we know them, we don't want to get carried away with it. If you study pyramids, there's something about pyramids that are rather strange. Okay? And there are some things about some strange doctrines in the Bible. Strange doctrines, Jude verse 9 or 7 mentions strange flesh. Weird flesh. Flesh that isn't normal. And from reading Genesis 6, we know that that will be the product of the cross between a fallen angel, a man, who takes on flesh and has children by a woman. Okay, and so the product will be giants. Those are strange things in the Bible. So basically, if we go back to Zechariah 5, I laid a foundation there that Zechariah 5 is weird. It's got weird stuff in it. Strange stuff. If we're going to believe what it says. Now, we can do the typical Christian thing and scholar thing and give our own opinion, which is private interpretation of it. I'm going to read some of them for you. But where do you start and stop when you get into private interpretation? Once you start down that road, you're going to have to exit that road sometime. But how far down that road are you going to travel until you figure out, I better cut that out? often the sad thing is most people start down that road, and by the time they get down that road past all the rest stops and where it says reprobate mind, it's too late to turn around. There's no exit ramps. Okay, so let's try it. Zechariah 5. Remember, Zechariah is writing prophetically. And he's writing about events that takes place during the tribulation time period. At the end of Zechariah 4, he writes about the two witnesses during the tribulation, Moses and Elijah. In chapter 5, he writes, starts off, then, proceeding, what follows his two witnesses, then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. What is that? A flying roll. Okay, so I'm going to run some things. You can get on the internet and type it in, just like I did. New International Version. I looked again, and there before me was a flying scroll. That's their interpretation. New Living Translation. I looked up again and saw a scroll flying through the air. English Standard Version, same thing. New American Standard Bible. I love it how they write that. Bible, that's their preference. Then I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, there was a flying scroll. And over here they have cross references. Revelation 5, verse 1. Remember the book that's in the hand of God the Father on the throne? So they're telling you that Zechariah 5 is a scroll that's the same as the book in Revelation 5, verse 1. Then he uses Jeremiah 36, verse 2. I find it interesting they chose that chapter, because that's the forbidden chapter to be taught in any Christian college, Jeremiah 36. It's about the preservation of the words of God. So they're telling us, chapter 5, verse 1, that's the flying roll, that's the Bible. Then he's got Ezekiel 2, verse 9. And again, that's another roll that's given there. Okay, let's see. Clark's commentary. And so if you get into the commentaries, which is, you know, just somebody's opinion, Mr. Clark wrote about Zechariah 5. He says, behold, a flying roll. This was 20 cubits long and 10 cubits broad. The prophet saw it expanded. Obviously. And flying. Nothing bright about that yet. Itself was the catalog of the crimes of the people. Where does he come up with that idea? It's just his mere opinion. What if I think it's Sears' catalog? We don't know. Okay, Gill's exposition of the entire Bible. Okay, he says, flying roll, a volume, okay, a volume or a scroll. Wesley, John Wesley's note, a flying roll, a volume or book spread out at large, flying in the air swiftly. Schofield Reference Bible. Has anybody got a Schofield Bible? Reference Bible? Anybody got one? You got that with you? Okay, let's see if I'm going to read what he's got. He may have a footnote down there. A roll in the scripture symbolism means the written word of God, the written word, whether of God or man. Is that down there in the footnote? Or in the margins? Okay. So Mr. Schofield, he used Ezekiel 6, Jeremiah 36, and Ezekiel 3. Those are references to the scroll of the Bible. And he calls it Zechariah's eighth vision is of the rebuke of sin by the word of God. Okay, and then he writes some more things about that. So he says it's a scroll. Okay. Let's see. This is Jameson Fawcett Brown. I'm sure those names, Ruckman's blast. He probably in his list you see those names. He's got Zechariah 5, Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary. The flying roll. He's got the fraudulent or perjuring transgressors of the law shall be extirpated from Judea. Number one, flying roll of papyrus or dress skins used for writing on when paper was not known. It was inscribed with the words of the curse, Deuteronomy 27. Being written implied that its contents were beyond all escape or repeal. Its flying shows that its curses were ready swiftly to visit the transgressors. It was unrolled. It was? or else its dimensions could not be seen. Being open to all, none could say in excuse he knew not the law of the curses of disobedience. Now, if he's right, basically what he's saying is you have a scroll in the heavens and some angel unrolled the scroll so that people can read the curses from the earth. That's what that guy says. These are all opinions. All opinions of what the Bible says. And again, where do you start and stop when you go down that path? Person says, who cares about what it is? You might care about it if one of these things show up at your house. And it starts talking to you through mental telepathy. Matthew Henry's concise commentary. The scriptures of the Old and New Testament are rolls in which God has written the great things of his law and gospel. They are flying rolls. Well, I didn't know that. I've never seen this Bible fly. God's word runs very swiftly. Well, if it's running, it's not flying. If you just believe what they're saying, the flying roll contains a declaration of righteous wrath of God against sinners, and then so forth down the road. Okay? Now, if a person reads those commentaries, this is the problem with commentaries, is now you've developed a preconceived idea. Okay, so if you read the 11 verses, this is a very short chapter, so it's not very difficult to figure out. You may not know what it is, but I certainly know what it's not. And one thing it's not is a scroll. I get a chuckle out of Sam Gipp. That guy is just hilarious. I just heard him last week. And he was talking, he said, aren't you glad you get chapter and verse markings in your Bible? He says, can't you imagine these guys in a seminary that they got their scroll and it says, find that place where Isaiah 61 is. Going through that. Now go back to chapter 2. Oh man, that's hilarious to think about that. Oh, Sam Gipp, he's so funny. And then that you ever see him preach on holy, 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 where he shows the message to the cherubims? Because they got eyes in the front and in the back all around. That's Sam. He's a great character. Okay, what is this? Now, if we think it's a scroll, verse 3 calls it a curse. Are these men saying that the Bible is a curse? Okay, verse 6 calls it an ephah. Verse 7 says there was lifted up a talent of lead. Lead is associated with this thing. And a woman is sitting on it. If that's a scroll, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen. Not only that, if that's a scroll, it is 20 cubits long, 10 cubits in diameter. If a cubit is 18 inches, that sure am be a big pocket New Testament. 15 feet in diameter, 30 feet long. I mean, Goliath couldn't carry that one. So, verse 8, it says, this is wickedness. Now, if I'm to believe that that's a scroll, these men are telling me that the Bible itself is a curse, it's wickedness, it's got a woman writing on it, and it lands in a place called Shinar. Verse 11. And in Shinar, there's a base, like a military base. What is it? I know it's not a scroll. It can't be. So we go back and read it. And we discover there are some things in the Bible. I remember years ago, if you read Ezekiel chapter 1, there's a strange vision in there. And it says it's visions of God, but boy, it's strange. And it says that there's a wheel, and then there's eyes around the wheel, and the eyes are going around this wheel, and that's where we get the comment saying he's a big wheel, referring to the big shot, and that's a reference to God. But it calls this visions of God, and I remember Jack Hiles preaching on that, and he said that those wheels are UFOs. Okay. It says it's visions of God. Now, if he wanted to find a UFO, I would say Zechariah 5 is our best shot. Why? It's an unidentified flying object. You can't identify it. You don't know what it is. Whatever it is, it's a curse. Now, when a person gets talking about these things, you automatically, you know, date yourself and remember the National Enquirer and the Star, where they had all these, you know, three-eyed people came from a lizard and all this stuff, and they're always trying to poo-poo these ideas. And then you discover the government knows these things, and the government's always trying to hide it from people. Why? Because they don't know how to answer it. When they have documented evidence of a device that can travel 1,000 miles an hour and turn at 90-degree angle, it scares a military man when he sees something like that. And he can't shoot it down. Somebody's got is more advanced than us. And these beings, you know, have an infatuation with blood. These beings that come out of them. So, I don't know what it is. We'll try to read it and kind of come up with something. And if possibly... years ago, a fellow named George Freighters and George and Robin Freighters started attending Rensselaer Church. And Robin is the sister of Rick Carlson. And after coming for about 2 or 3 months, they said to me, we went to Bible school, but we realized we didn't know very much. You know, when you start learning some Bible-believing stuff, that's how you feel. I went to 5 years, you know, Christian college and realized I didn't know much. After you start hearing this Bible-believing stuff, you say, man, this is a whole different world. This is what I've been looking for. And so after about 2 or 3 months, I guess George felt a little comfortable with me after hearing some of the things I've been preaching. And he says, I got to tell you a story. And I said, okay, what's that? He said, you're going to think I'm nuts. And I could have easily said, I already think that. But you, no, you may think I am. No. And he commenced to tell me this story where he was out driving a truck. He was a truck driver. And he said, we are parked along a highway. There are 6 trucks there. He said, in a distance, we could see it. There's one of these electric plant, one of these electric stations. And he said, during the night, I could hear a humming. He said, I woke up and looked out there, and he said, something was hovering above the electric plant. He said, I could actually see juice coming up. He said, I said, what about them other trucks? He said, they saw it too. I said, what did you guys do? He said, we got out of there. Smart man. Now, what was it? What was it? I mean, something. And there are a lot of things going on. People say beings from outer space. Don't buy into that. I don't buy into that. Is God going to let the other planets have sin mess around with it? Is he going to keep it contained on this planet? You see, where everybody's looking for some being from up there to come down and solve our problems. What if that being does come down from up there, but he made a roundabout and started from down and then came around? And that's what it looks like he's doing. Man is ready for this. And you can see that Hollywood is really getting people geared up for it, aren't they? They are getting them geared up for vampirism. They're getting them geared up for reptilians to come and save them, the Ninja Turtles and company. They're getting the kids. They're starting with the kids, and they're working right up where the kids have faith in these things. Boy, they are getting them ready. And so maybe you haven't had these strange experiences. I'm glad I haven't. Okay, maybe... you haven't seen something darting through the sky where you couldn't justify it and say it was a plane. Okay, but there's something going on. Now, if you do take some time, and I think you could do a little time study on UFOs, Don Boyes wrote a little booklet on it. So did Bill Snedlin. That would probably be the safest to go, those two. Don Boyes, we had him years ago. Don Boyes is now an evangelist. He's more of a fundamentalist type. Don Boyes was a member of the Indiana Representatives. He was a representative for Indiana, I think one-termer. And then he got involved in Christian education. He was pretty well-known in Christian education, and now he's been traveling around as an evangelist for a while. He has a little book on UFOs. Okay, and so I would dare say we're dealing with something of that nature, a flying roll. We don't have it identified. We don't know what it is. What is it? Verse 2, and he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof, 20 cubits, the breadth thereof, 10 cubits. A royal cubit, according to the ark, according to Moses, you know, is 20.62 inches, according to Ron Wyatt. Then he said, what is this flying roll? Verse 3. Then said he unto me, this is the curse. Now that's very clear, is it not? It's a curse. Whatever that roll is, it's a curse. Now I know the Bible is a curse to people who disobey it. But the Bible is not a curse to people who obey it. It's a blessing. Now this curse, it goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. Okay, this curse is going throughout the world. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. So the thieves are associated with this curse. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on that side according to it. People who make false oaths are associated with this curse. He says, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it, that curse, that roll, it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. So these spirits are of some type, this thing, this curse, is affecting the entire world. Verse 5, then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. Now, an ephah, I know, is a measuring thing in the Bible, like a bushel of wheat. But this is a different thing. This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance. There, who's there? Resemblance to all the earth. There. Who's the there? That's that ever-present they. You ever hear people say, well, they said this, and they said that, and they said, who's they? There. There's another one like that that's very weird. If you would look in Daniel chapter 2, that's giving personification to a flying roll or some occupants on it. Daniel chapter 2 has another strange thing. Okay, the vision of Daniel, you know the vision, you read through that. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, bad dream. In this dream he saw a vision, you know, a thing with a head of gold, you know, and so forth, so on. Gets down to the feet, and at the feet is of iron and clay. The interpretation of the iron and clay is found in Daniel 2, verse 42. 41, whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Who's they? And they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. They, iron, mingled with the seed of men. Is it any wonder the Transformers transform from a robot to a man or back and forth? RoboCop, who's that red guy that flies around? Iron Man or something like that? Aren't they getting people geared up for this? That's what they're doing. They're getting them ready for it. Iron is an interesting thing in the Bible, okay, and it's usually associated with something evil. That doesn't mean if you got iron, you're wicked, okay, but still, it's their resemblance to all the earth, their resemblance. Now, there are statues of these strange beings all over the world. If you travel the world, in Europe they have a more prevalent than here. But you can go some of the parks in Europe. Nico took us to one park there in Switzerland or Austria. I think it's Austria. And there were like little dwarfs, statues. 10, 12, 13, I don't know how many of them, little weird looking stuff. Little beings that showed up. If you go to some of our government complexes, you'll see Christian symbolism, you'll see satanic symbolism. The international corporations will usually be named after some pagan god. Okay, the god Pan and the perversion that goes along with him. So, there's a weird thing. Neil Trahan just let me, he told me about there's a kids program associated with Mark Twain and Tom Sawyer, like a cartoon, and this thing has about a 7-minute clip where the devil shows up to these kids, and this devil creates these people and then kills these people, and this devil says, these people are nobody, they're of nothing. And it introduces these impressionable minds to Satan and his powers, giving life to some clay and destroying the clay and bringing back the clay and all this stuff. I think, who's teaching that to kids? And if you notice some of the Disney cartoons, I mean, Snow White, that's got some demonic stuff in there. Wizard of Oz has got some demonic. They have monkeys flying around, winged monkeys in the Wizard of Oz. Okay, so there is some weird stuff going on. Verse 7, it says, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. So if you got lead in your britches, she's got more. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I am not certain. I don't know if I believe that anybody's ever gotten the moon. I really, try to search that thing out, and I really don't think we've been there. I've heard astronauts say that if we got outside of the Van Allen belt, in order for us to get back in, you have to have a ship that has 6 feet thick full of lead in order to survive the heat. And if you look at some of those capsules that they got down there in Florida, they're not 6 feet thick. Now, I don't know. I've watched the videos and some of those things where it looked like it was staged in Area 51. And I watched the videos where you can see the guy walking, pretending to walk through the moon. And you can see a shadow going this way and a shadow going this way. And how do you get that but different lighting coming in? And my sister, Janet, when she was at Bob Jones University, they showed some video footage of the cosmonauts in Russia where they were supposedly walking in space. And she said you could see the air bubbles in the water. It was so bad. Trying to portray that it was, some real thing. And I really don't know. I know the Bible teaches us that our domain is the first heavens, the earth, and the oceans. It is not our responsibility to go up. Whoever wants to go up, you go back to the Tower of Babel, you can see who's got a problem with going up. So we haven't figured out the ocean yet. Haven't even come close to that. So we have a lead associated with this. We have a woman. So verse 8, he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out 2 women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between earth and heaven. So there's where I guess you get your common saying that the babies came from the stork. But if you get a baby from the stork, you better watch out. It might be Judas Iscariot. And you know, there are women actually... There's a song out now. Somebody's telling me the lyrics. I forget who the songwriter is. And she actually is writing the lyrics of having relations with a devil. I mean, that's the entire... That it's not clouded. It's not backmasked. It is right in your face. Where she is singing about having relations with unclean spirits, aliens, and devils. So people are getting geared up for this. Okay, and that is way before, I know 50 years ago you couldn't teach any of this stuff because, we don't got that. Boy, it's coming on fast now. So the wings of a stork, verse 9, then said I, verse 10, to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Shinar, you go to Genesis chapter 11, that's your cross-reference. The land of Shinar, that's the Tower of Babel. We know that's Babylon. Is it any wonder that we have built the largest embassy in Babylon? Somebody getting ready? Certainly looks like it, doesn't it? And when that verse closes with the word base, we're dealing with some type of military base. And now you can get into all that stuff and study that stuff if you want. I don't say take a lot of time with it, but I say you should know a little bit. By chance, you will cross a path of some people that have some strange things happen to them. And maybe you can discuss it a little bit with them, but then bring them around to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Hebrews 13, verse 9 said that we are not to be occupied with strange doctrines. We are to know some things about it, and we are to alert people about it. Now, if you do a little study on UFOs, and you can discover some things about them, okay, generally speaking, the mothership of UFOs, where the little saucers come out of the mothership will be the shape of a cigar, okay, or a cylinder. An interesting research is to get on the internet and type in the word rods. Rods. A rod is like a miniature ship that floats all over the place. And there's a place, you know, a certain place like in Mexico, that they're just coming out of this cave and all these little weird stuff floating all over the place. And these spirits are floating everywhere. And we know that the devil can produce seed. And we know that these beings are infatuated. They are infatuated with the act of creating life. This is why you have pagan symbolism in cemeteries, little obelisk. That's why we got the Washington Monument, an obelisk. This is why you have the dome on the Capitol building. How do you say these things and be very and keep the kids innocent? The dome on the Capitol building, the Capitol building is a perverse symbol. The Washington Monument is a perverse symbol. Satan is infatuated with this symbol because he's trying to mess up the seed of man. Remember, he said that back in Genesis 3. All prophecy teachers will tell you, basically all of them that at least have some semblance of belief in the Bible, will tell you that Genesis 3:15 is the first direct prophecy of Jesus Christ where the seed comes from the woman. They never talk about the seed of the serpent. They ignore that. They bypass it. It's just gone. They don't even think about it. What about the seed of the serpent? Judas Iscariot being a devil, associated with these UFOs. The evil occupants of UFOs are infatuated with four things. Blood. People that have been abducted by this, they will tell you that they had a syringe stuck in their navel to pull blood out of them. My cousin's got a hog farm up here in Cedar Lake. One time he had a hog drug under his fence and the hog was drained dry of its blood. And so somebody's infatuated with blood. Now, why is that? We know that the Bible forbids us of drinking blood prior to the law, in the law, and after the law. That's forbidden. And something to do with that vine tree, if that vine tree was supernatural when Eve partook of it, did her water circulatory system turn into blood? Hence, you have a weird thing throughout the Bible. The only forbidden fruit in the Bible is the vine tree, and so it's forbidden to drink blood. But somebody's infatuated with the blood. Why is it that the vampirism is just booming now? Somebody's infatuated with that. I don't understand it. I don't understand how spirits, angels, can leave their first estate. I don't understand it. It's something to do with blood. I don't know what it is, but they're infatuated with it. Not only that, they're infatuated with electricity. Okay, as George said it, that thing sucked up electrical juice from that thing. Now, I know the Amish, they oppose electricity. They've got their reasons for it. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. And the Nazi stormtroopers, the SS, had their two S's in the shape of a lightning. And some of your rockers got the lightning bolt for that. And we know that the Antichrist will be able to strike people dead by lightning. And I don't profess to know everything about it. I know that electricity is very odd. Dad has a farm that you have these power lines coming through, and when it was foggy, you could not touch the metal in that tractor. Okay, because you would, you're a good way to get a fro. Okay, and you could just hear them humming, and you wonder how much of that leaches out. You know, cancer causing things like that. So something to do with Satan is infatuated with electricity. Okay, another thing is they say magnesium is vital, important to them, and sulfur. Now, I don't know what the magnesium is, if that's what their little UFO ships are made out of. Okay, but sulfur is an interesting statement. Sulfur, that's brimstone. That will be the future home of these beings. They are infatuated with sulfur in some fashion. And some folks that have had these experiences said that there's a strong egg smell. They must have got their water from Lake Prairie. I remember as a kid when we'd always play Lake Prairie, we'd always, bring your water. Because that water out there, I don't know if they've changed it, but boy, that stuff smells like rotten eggs. Okay, and so these beings, okay, now these aliens, these beings, in the old days they were called fireballs. Christopher Columbus, in his daily log, writes about a fireball guiding him into a certain place. And if you study the Atlantic Ocean, the Bermuda Triangle, there's a place out there, if I'm pronouncing it right, called the Sargasso Sea, if that's how it's pronounced right, okay, where the wind dies down, where if the sailing ships, where they can only go, you know, propel through by the wind, if they got stuck in that, they were dead meat. Their ship would die. Their ship would stop floating. They could never get out of there. And the fish life, the marine life would often build the plankton on the boat. The boat eventually rot and sink right there. Christopher Columbus and company came around it. I don't know if they knew about it. By chance, they got around it. But there have been many strange happenings in there. If you look up the word Bermuda Triangle in the World Book Encyclopedia, it will say something like, 57 U.S. airplanes and ships have been lost in Bermuda Triangle, but we mark it off as coincidence. Somebody's hiding something. Somebody's afraid of something. If you type in MK Ultra, mind control, you'll deal with something about this. Okay, and these things are very strange. They're very odd. They often make agreements with people, and the agreements will be called a covenant of death. If you would, look in Isaiah 28. We know that Ephesians chapter 6, it mentions that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of the spiritual wickedness and spiritual wickedness in high places. So this will be the beings that we often wrestle against. Isaiah 28, these beings will make agreements with friends in high places in order to get political clout, international fame, international power, but yet they have to sell themselves to it. Isaiah 28, verse 18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, what is that? Then ye shall be trodden down by it. For the time that goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Verse 20, for the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. The wrapping itself in is a common saying, and that about wraps it up. We're dealing with the end of time there. The idea in that verse 20 is that the idea is that the Jews are running down to Petra, and if they don't get there, that their feet are kind of hanging out, the nuclear radiation is going to nail them. Verse 21, the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. And if you go back to that cross reference in 2 Samuel 5, you read that this is called a sound of going. He said, David, wait till you hear a sound of going, whatever that is. He says, in the valley of, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon. Okay, in that valley, that's where he throws down the hailstones and kills people, that he may do his work, his strange act. I'm strange work. His strange work, and it bring to pass his act, his strange act. And then the next verse calls it a consumption, and the consumption is upon the whole earth. Now, Zechariah 14:12 writes about somebody who dies on the spot standing, that their eyes will melt out of their sockets. Hollywood has tried to depict these things. I think Raiders of the Lost Ark, toward the ends of that, I think in that case, when that is depicted, Hollywood's trying to portray these things. Zechariah 14, verse 12, it says, this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. People say nuclear radiation, man's going to blow himself up. No, I don't think so. I don't think man's got that capability. Yeah, we dropped two bombs in Japan, but look, if you go there today, the tsunami's done worse damage than that. We couldn't blow up the planet if we tried. I don't care if they set all the nuclear bombs off at once. And 20 years later, it would act like nothing even happened. But I don't know a God that can do that. I know a God can speak that into existence. And a God will allow a devil to do those things. Now, this spiritual wickedness that he's writing about here in chapter 5, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear, because Jesus Christ is stronger. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Okay, prayer and fasting, where you have to deal with some folks. Okay, prayer and fasting will help with these things. Of course, the Word of God. These are the weapons that the Lord has given us. But the closer we get to Christ's coming, the closer we get to the rapture, the more strange this behavior will be. And you will be crossing the path of people that may not be people. They may not be. How many do we know? I have no idea. I'm of the opinion that many of the international leaders may not be people, flesh and blood people. If Judas Iscariot was chosen by Christ to be one of the apostles, he said, yet one of you is a devil. But yet he appeared as a person. He appeared as a man. He appeared such as a man, as an honest man, that the disciples still, after 3.5 years, did not know that he was a devil. You type in, there's funny stuff on the internet, Joel Osteen, you type in that guy's name, somebody did a search on him, and you watch that guy blink his eyes. You ever seen that guy? You know, and I say them are reptilian eyes. Who knows? Who knows? But I wouldn't put it back. Judas was a healing evangelist, was he not? A healing evangelist, traveling around as a devil, yet looking like a man. So, Zechariah 5, about the best route we're going to go, these strange flashes of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan appears as an angel of light. And so, the flying roll, if we're going to believe what it says, and let it say what it says about the topic, we have to deal with that, and that's something that's unidentified. You can't figure out what it is. All we do know is that it is a curse. It is wickedness. It can fly. It is associated with the military. It has a military base. It is strongly associated with Iran or Iraq or Babylon. And it's something that you and I have power over through the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's that. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand your words. Help us to be faithful to your words. And Lord, help us to understand that this book has much more info in it than we dare believe. But Lord, help us to have a balance. And to make sure we continue to witness the folks, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.